Welcome to In Christ, the radio ministry of Calvary Chapel in Lubbock, Texas, with pastor and teacher Ben Martinez.
Here's the application for you and I. Pilate wants to avoid a decision about Jesus. But let me say this to you. A non-decision is still a decision. Oh, how many times in my life I was like, oh, I don't know. I was brought up a certain religion. Oh, I don't know. And my decision not to surrender my life to Jesus was a decision not to surrender my life to Jesus.
Welcome back to our verse-by-verse study through the Gospel of Mark. Last time, we saw fear and failure in Peter's denial, and yet the steady faithfulness of Jesus. Today, we continue with Mark chapter 15, verses 1 through 15, with a message titled, It's Okay to Not Be Okay. In today's lesson, Jesus is standing before Pilate, silent, beaten, and falsely accused. The crowd that once shouted, Hosanna, Hosanna, now cries out, Crucify him. Even though Pilate knows Jesus is innocent, he gives in to the pressure and hands him over to be scourged. And in the middle of all the noise and injustice and cruelty, Jesus is silent. This moment reminds us that not every season is one of strength and clarity. Sometimes obedience looks like silence. Sometimes faith looks like endurance. Jesus doesn't defend himself because he is carrying something far heavier, the weight of our sins. Faith does not mean pretending everything is fine. Jesus shows us that it's okay to be overwhelmed, to be wounded, and to walk through dark moments without having all the answers. God is still at work, even when life feels unbearable. If you're walking through a season where things feel heavy, confusing, and unfair, can you trust that God is still present, holding you, even when you're not okay? Let's join Pastor Ben in today's lesson, Mark chapter 15, verses 1 through 15, with the title, It's Okay to Not Be Okay. Here's Pastor Ben.
In Christ, I have his righteousness. In Christ, I have what I confess. In Christ, I don't worry about all the rest, 'cause everything I need to be in Christ.
I was thinking about this. I think Pilate was just like you and I before our beautiful encounter with Jesus. He was just like you and I. So let's look at his reaction. So before we jump into verse 2 of Mark, let's go back over to John 18, because John gives us greater detail than Pilate. While you're turning there, think about this. Mark is going to just move quickly, 16 chapters. He's just going to tell us the facts. John and the other Gospels are going to go into a little bit deeper detail. So give me an amen if you're in John 18.
Amen.
Look at verse 28. Then they led Jesus from Caiaphas to the praetorium, and it was early morning. But they themselves, the religious people, didn't go into the praetorium, lest they should be defiled, but that they might eat the Passover. Remember, we talked about this. The Passover, Jesus had that earlier on Thursday. This is Friday. Okay, it's about to be the Sabbath for them. Pilate went out and said, notice, here's Pilate. Let's chat with Pilate. He says, what accusation do you bring against this man? Speaking of Jesus. And they answered and said to him, if he were not an evildoer, we would not have delivered him up to you. Why? Because remember, Rome had revoked their purpose to persecute or kill in 7 AD. So they have to do this. And he's going, listen, why are you bringing me this guy? If it was a modern day, you'd go, listen, all the Facebooks, all the Instagrams, everything on social media shows that he's just a great guy. He's feeding people. He's raising people from the dead. He's a great humanitarian. Why would you take him to the police? Why would you take him to the cops, man? Why would you put him? And they said, well, listen, if he were not an evildoer, we wouldn't have brought him here. Now, guys, if you're taking note, notice the indifference to Jesus right here. Pilate's indifference, verse 31 of John. And Pilate said to them, you take him and judge him according to your law. Therefore, the Jews said to him, it is not lawful for us to put anyone to death. So now you understand where this came from. That the saying of Jesus might be fulfilled, which he spoke, signifying by what death he would die. So then Pilate entered the praetorium again, called Jesus, and said to him. Now, in your minds, here is God in the flesh. Fully God, fully man. There he is. Yahshua. Oh, my goodness. You're meeting him. You're seeing him. What are you going to say to him? Pilate, what are you going to say? Notice, he calls Jesus and he says to him, are you king of the Jews? And Jesus answered him, are you speaking for yourself about this? Or did others tell you this concerning me? Is that coming from your heart, or did you hear it? Did you hear the buzz about me? What is it? And Pilate answers, am I a Jew? You can see he says, your own nation, your chief priest, right out the door, I'm adding that, have delivered you to me. What have you done? Now, put your thinking caps on, guys, because over in Luke's gospel, it's recorded that he actually declares Jesus innocent. Did you see this in the text? Let me read it to you guys. You can look on the screen. This is Luke 23, 4 through 7. So Pilate said to the chief priests in the crowd, he comes out and he says, I find no fault in this man. But they were more fierce, saying, he stirs up the people, teaching throughout Judea, beginning in Galilee to this place. And when Pilate heard Galilee, he asked if the man were Galilean. And as soon as he knew that he had belonged to Herod's jurisdiction, he sent him to Herod, who was also in Jerusalem at that time. Here's what I want you to see. I want you to know that Pilate avoids a decision about Jesus. Declares him innocent. The trial should have been over. It should have been done. I find no fault in him. But they're continually. But here's the application for you and I. Pilate wants to avoid a decision about Jesus. But let me say this to you. A non-decision is still a decision. Oh, how many times in my life I was like, oh, I don't know. I was brought up a certain religion. Oh, I don't know. And my decision not to surrender my life to Jesus was a decision not to surrender my life to Jesus. That's what Pilate's doing right here. You and I, we have the text of the scripture. We know who Jesus is in our heart. So we're struggling right now going, Pilate, come on, he's right here. Dude, you could be set free. You could be healed. It's God. He's the one who created you. He knows everything about you. Pilate, what are you doing? Are you a Jew? I mean, he's just having this dialogue. But I want you to note the indifference. You go, what does indifference mean? Well, I looked it up and it says lack of interest. Lack of interest, lack of concern or sympathy to the one who can bring spiritual health and healing. Ever been indifferent about something? Think about this from a physical point of view. You got some aches and pains as you get older and you go to the doctor and the doctor says, hey, okay, here's what I found. Here's your chart. Here's this medicine. If you'll take this medicine, you'll feel better. Okay, you're telling me that if I take this, I'll be able to whatever. Yeah, you'll feel better. Okay. If you're indifferent about it, you'd be like, bro, Joe, you take your medicine? But it's going to make you feel better. I don't know, maybe. Lack of interest. You have the doctor telling you what's wrong with you. You have the doctor giving you a prescription. All you have to do is do it. All you have to do is take it. And, church, listen to me. There are a lot of people we know that are indifferent to Jesus. They'll look at you and say, Brother Ben, that's good for you. I'm glad you're on fire for Jesus. I'm glad you've got that related. And to them, it's indifferent. That's Pilate. Pilate is indifferent. You've got the Son of God sitting in, right? You've got a front row seat to ask him anything you want. We know people that said, how can I be saved? What must I do to inherit eternal life? What, Lord? Now Pilate, he's on thin ice. What does Pilate say? Are you the king of the Jews? But it goes on, because not only is he indifferent, notice the denial. We're still in John 18. John 18, guys, verse 36. Jesus answered, "My kingdom is not of this world. If my kingdom were of this world, my servants would fight, so that I should not be delivered to the Jews. But now my kingdom is not from here." Very good answer. Are you king of the Jews? Hey, my kingdom's not here. Listen, there is a day coming when the kingdom will be here on earth, but it's not today. His kingdom is still there. But there's a day coming. But he's right. So what does Pilate say? "Are you a king then?" Jesus answered, our Jesus said, "You say rightly that I am a king. For this cause I was born, for this cause I've come into the world, that I should bear witness of the," what's that word, guys? Let's say it together. Right. This is what is prayer, right? "Everyone who is of the truth hears my voice." Take a moment. If you hear God's voice today through the reading of the word, through the power of the scripture, through a Bible study, through a song, if you hear the truth of scripture, guys, you're a witness to the truth. Unfortunately, notice what he says. "Everyone who hears the truth hears my voice." My voice. You know, I told you last week we were praying about our building. We're praying about the growth in the church. And my friend that was here reminded me of a song that we used to listen to back in the 80s. Hadn't heard that song in like for 30 years. And he brought it up. And it was a really interesting song. Because part of the lyrics say, "Your desire is the confirmation, the destination is there. God wouldn't put it in your spirit if it wasn't going nowhere." And I was like, wow. You go, why? Because our church can't afford 2.8 million. That's a lot. We can't afford the point, okay? We're honest, right? God has blessed us. Don't get me wrong. We're a Bible believing. We'll do whatever God wants us to do. But the point is that I'm driving and I'm like, okay, Lord, now let me back up. So the first time I saw the sign, I called the guy and the guy's like, "Listen, the guy wants $25,000 a month rent, da, 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 da." I was like, okay, that's a dead end. Another dead end, Lord. And I'm driving to church and the Lord puts it in my spirit. He's like, "I want you to text the guy when you get to church. Text him. Ask him, you know." And so that spoke to me in truth, that it's like the Lord's like, look, God wouldn't put it in you if it wasn't going anywhere. Now, I don't know what God's going to do with it, but I know he put it in my spirit. I know he put it in my spirit to text him, to offer, guys, to get out of the boat. Maybe God has something better for us. Maybe, I don't know what God has, but I know this. He wants us to get out of the boat. And I have been so scared to get out of the boat. To take that step. We give Peter a hard time, don't we? "Oh, Peter, you almost drowned. Get back in the boat, you drippy dude, whatever, you know. You're wet, all wet." Peter's the only one that got out of the boat. Guys, I want to be a church that gets out of the boat. I want to see God do the impossible. It's impossible. I want to see him do the impossible. You will all be a witness. You're going, wow, how did this happen? I'll be like, I don't know. Because we have three miracles. You know what they are? Number one, the owner's got to agree to lease to own it to us. Number two, we got to raise money to build it out. Number three, we got to get out of this lease. But God's a big God, isn't he? God's a big God. So the point is that he says, "Everyone who is of the truth hears my voice." Okay, Lord, amen. But notice Pilate. What does Pilate say? And Pilate said to him, "What is truth? What is truth?" I think we've asked that question in our lives over the time. What is truth? And when he said this, he went out to the Jews and said to them, what did he say? "I find no fault in him." Case closed at all. Thank you. "I find no fault in him at all." I want to share something with you with the Living Bible. We couldn't find the Living Bible, but listen to this. In verse 37, it says, "Pilate replied to you, 'Are you a king then?' 'Yes,' said Jesus, 'I was born for this purpose. I came to bring truth to the world.'" All who love the truth are my followers. That's the gospel message. That's the gospel message. That's the same message we preach from behind this pulpit. Hey, this is the truth. The truth of the matter is really simple. The truth of the matter is really simple. Jesus Christ is fully God, fully man, came from heaven to die on the cross for our sins. The reason is to reconcile mankind back to God. But we have to make a decision to follow him. The Holy Spirit begins to convict us, and that's when we say yes to Jesus. You go, what happens? We make that confession, and then we follow up by repentance. We turn from our evil. Okay, Lord, I'm going to follow you. We ask for the filling of the Holy Spirit so that we are now born again from God with our names written in the Lamb's Book of Life. That's the truth. That's what happened to all of us. We said yes to him. The truth of the matter is, we didn't understand it all. We were like, I don't know, what happened? Oh, the pastor was preaching. I felt like I've had people go like, hey, how many of you want to give your life to the Lord? Raise your hand. And people are like, I felt like my hand just went up. I was like you couldn't control it. It was like, oh, man. And people got saved that way. It's the truth. It's the Holy Spirit who saves people. I'm just begging you, be saved. Don't play with God. You're going to see some silly games in just a minute. But let me get back to the text or I'm going to be way late. Pilate starts to deny the Lord by asking, what is truth? You have truth right in front of you. But the question, what is truth, posed by Pontius Pilate during this trial has been interpreted three ways throughout history. Let me give you three schools of thought on what he's saying. First school of thought, it reflects the philosophical inquiry to the nature of truth, suggesting Pilate's possible confusion or indifference to deeper implications of truth. Pilate's like, what is truth? Or, oh, what is truth? You can see that. You can see both of those. That's one school of thought. The second school of thought says some interpretations suggest that Pilate's question was not merely rhetorical or jesting. He wasn't like, what is truth? But rather an expression of frustration or genuine search for that understanding. Ever been there? That's where the Holy Spirit, and you're like, man, I want to know for real. I want to know. I want God to come and open up my heart. It wasn't just like, oh, well, who's Jesus? It's like, who's Jesus? Church, listen, the Bible tells us that you and I not to cast our pearls before swine. So we have to be careful because you'll get those people that'll just, let me ask you a question, right? They're not interested in the truth. They just want to push your buttons and get you all riled up. You know, they'll just, that's people. But then you have those who have a genuine, tell me more. Really? I'm confused, so help me. And so you just share. And that's so beautiful. Because those are the ones that end up going, whether they make a decision or not, they want to know the truth. Listen, I was probably about 15, 16 years old. The gospel was presented to me and I didn't accept it right away. How many of you accepted it right away? We was like, this has to make sense to me. The last school of thought is this. The irony lies in the fact that Pilate was questioning the very essence of truth while standing before Jesus, who is often referred to as the embodiment of truth. You're going, what is truth? And it's like, dude, he's right here. You know, this is truth. What does that mean for us? Really quickly, where do we get our truth? From the Word of God. Okay? Just because it's on TV doesn't mean it's true. We grew up that way. We thought that the television told us the truth. It's on TV. Did you hear? Well, in Joe's day, it was radio because they didn't have a TV way back then. And so he was listening to the radio when Orson Welles came and started talking about invasion. I'm going to get in trouble for that one. Love you, buddy. Love you, brother. I'm so glad you're here. You're the only one yeah. Indifference, denial, last but not least, guys, silly games. Silly games. Ready? Then Pilate asked him, it's a recap. Ready? A recap. Are you the king of the Jews? And he answered, this is Mark chapter 15. We're saying goodbye to John, Mark 15. And he answered and he said to him, it is as you say. And the chief priests accused him of many things, but he answered nothing. Then Pilate asked him again, saying, do you answer nothing? See how many things testify against you? But Jesus still answered nothing. So Pilate marveled. Look at verse 6. Now, at the feast, he was accustomed to releasing one prisoner to them, whomever they requested. If you have a pencil handy, underline that verse, and I'm going to tell you why in just a minute. Here is where the silly games begin. Listen, Pilate knew Jesus was an innocent man. You're like, yeah? We have him on record saying, I have found no fault in this man. You go, yep, Luke 23. Yet, here's where the games begin. Pilate had a political explosive situation on his hands. The question is, will he do what is right and free an innocent man? Or what is politically expedient? You go, what was that? To execute a man brought before him by the Jews for treason. What's he going to do? But think about this, church. Put on your thinking caps. Pilate wasn't a friend to the Jewish people. He could see through their manipulation, and he knew that the chief priest had handed him over because of envy. So you know what he did? Pilate goes, you know what? I know what you guys are doing. I know this is envy. So he wanted to find a way to free Jesus even more. He's like, let me see if I can play this little game between the Jewish, the leaders. And so in verse 7, it says, and there was a man named Barabbas. You guys see that? Barabbas. The word bar means son of. Abbas means father. So literally, this guy was named son of the father. He wasn't the father's son, but his son of the father. And, or who was chained with his fellow rebels. Why? They had committed murder in the rebellion. Then the multitude, crying aloud, began to ask him to do just as he had always done for them. And Pilate answered and saying, do you want me to release to you the king of the Jews? Okay, you guys see that? I wonder why Pilate asked this. Why is he saying, you have a known murderer right here? And he's going, probably because he thinks this might be a good way to do what's right without stirring the pot. You go, what do you mean? If he releases Jesus and an innocent man goes free, then Pilate gets to save face. He's like, yeah. I like what David Guzik writes. He says, it is strange, I'm quoting, almost insane scene. A cruel, ruthless Roman governor trying to win the life of a miracle-working Jew against the strenuous efforts of both the Jewish leaders and the crowd, end quote. It is. It's a strange scene. In Christ.
That was Pastor Ben Martinez in the Servant King series, a verse-by-verse study through the Gospel of Mark. As Pastor Ben reiterates time after time, the message of Mark's gospel is captured in a single verse. For even the Son of Man did not come to be served, but to serve, and to give his life a ransom for many. Chapters 10, verse 45. Chapter by chapter, the book unfolds the dual focus of Christ's life, service and sacrifice. Mark portrays Jesus as a servant on the move, instantly responsive to the will of the Father. By preaching, teaching, and healing, he ministers to the needs of others, even to the point of death. After the resurrection, he commissions his followers to continue his work in his power, servants following in the steps of the perfect servant. As we walk through this gospel together, may we be challenged to follow Jesus with boldness, serve with humility, and proclaim the good news with passion. So join us next time as we continue in the Gospel of Mark.
Hey guys, Pastor Ben here. Our vision at Calvary Chapel Lubbock is we want to be a place that continually feeds and shepherds the people of God. I want to thank you for taking the time to listen to In Christ Radio, and I'm praying that you were blessed and well-fed by our radio ministry, and by God's grace, this becomes one of those things that continues to build up your faith, encourages your walk with God, as well as fuel your love for Jesus. Would you consider partnering with us financially? It's actually really simple. You could either do it online at inchristradio.com, simply hit the donate button. If sending a check is more comfortable for you, you can drop one in the mail at In Christ Radio, 4218 Boston Avenue, Lubbock, Texas, 79413. I'm praying that you would fall more deeply in love with Jesus. God bless.
If you missed any of today's show or would like to listen to it again, check out our website, inchristradio.com. There you can find a link to this show, along with this past week's episodes. There is also a link to the Calvary Chapel Lubbock podcast with a whole library of great Bible teachings and teachers. Have a prayer request? Submit yours safely and privately at inchristradio.com. I would like to personally invite you to one of our services. We meet Sunday mornings at 10 a.m., Wednesday evenings at 7 p.m., and Thursdays at 12 for noonday prayer. Did you miss any information? Our website again is inchristradio.com. Remember, wherever you are and whatever you're doing, God wants to be a part of your life.
In Christ, I have His righteousness. In Christ, I have what I